Good morning, everyone. If you would like, go ahead and open your songbooks to number 239. We are going to be doing, as David said, something a little bit different than we normally do in our worship. We are going to incorporate scripture reading, songs together for our lesson this morning. My comments will probably be at a minimum. You can applaud at that if you want to, but we are going to be looking at the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Now, we've been studying the life of Christ in a chronological manner in our Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. We know how long it's taken us to get through that. We've been doing it for about a little over 2 years now. And so you're not going to get a full picture of everything in the life, death, and death of Jesus Christ in this lesson. But what I do believe in looking at the songs and singing the songs together and the scriptures that we'll be looking at even, most of them are going to prepare us for partaking of the Lord's Supper. A good many of the songs that we're going to be singing this morning will center around his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And when we come together on the first day of the week, we come together to memorialize his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so in our lesson this morning, we're going to do that. This is going to be a long Lord's Supper talk, if so to speak, if you want to look at it that way. But the songs that we're going to sing will be preceded by scripture reading. All the songs are on the board. Following the singing of number 434 this morning, we will offer the Lord's Supper and then take that time also for the giving of our means following that. After that is done, I'll offer a very brief invitation. We'll sing an invitation song and then a closing song, and our service will be concluded. I hope and pray that when we think about what we're doing today, we constantly think about what the Apostle Paul told the church at Colossae, that we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that is what we are going to attempt to do with our lesson this morning. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, it says, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish, become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." It is interesting when I read a text like this, following the baptism of Jesus, he immediately begins his work. And his life, the last 3 years of his life, unfold for us there. And he does so by selecting men to make them fishers of men. But he does it so that they will follow in his footsteps. We'll sing the first and second verse of number 239.
Go me sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come unto me, and we see where thy footsteps falling, leading.
these men would follow Jesus and he would be with them for all of this time, teaching them, performing miracles, rescuing them at times when they felt that they were in peril. I want you to turn to your songbooks, number 689, The Master, the Tempest is Raging. It is a scene that we see in Scripture that oftentimes we look at it and see the disciples crying out, that asking the Lord if he really cares about them. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" The great power of Jesus, not just simply over nature itself, but the fact that he was the Son of God, the fact that he could comfort them, should also bring comfort to us in the times that we feel that we have storms in our life. That if we turn to him, we do not have to have little or no faith, but we can fully trust him in all things. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 in this song. Verses 1 and 3.
Know me so, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is overshadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish, how can the life sleep, when each moment so madly is threatening, a great in the angry deep? The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Or demons or men or whatever it be, the water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey. Sweetly obey thy will. Peace.
next song will be number 355. Matthew chapter 14, in verses 14 through 21, it reads, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, There is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said to them, Bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Not looking at the account in John chapter 6, but the song that we're about to sing, Break Thou the Bread of Life, in John chapter 6, that's exactly what Jesus declared that he was. He is the manna that has come down from heaven. He is the bread of life. He is that which provides life. And so as we look at this, we also know that the words that he left us, the gospel that he left us, provides us life as well. It's for our responsibility to take them in, to make them part of our lives. We're going to sing all 3 verses. Break Thou the Bread of Life. Number 355. As his disciples, if we truly hunger and thirst for his righteousness, I believe that we will be filled. That longing for him as the bread of life is something that should be vitally important to each and every one of us. It is our guide each day as we live. Turn to song number 97. Oh, to be like thee. Much of Jesus' life is lived in such a way that it was not just for the purpose of showing how great he was, but for a purpose of leaving us an example that we could follow in his footsteps. One of the greatest things, and we talked about it this morning in the Bible class, when Jesus gave the disciples the example of washing of feet, was that we serve one another. And the best way that we can serve one another is by learning from the examples that Jesus gave us, following the example Jesus gave us, and practicing those examples. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." That last line right there of what Jesus actually did in committing himself to the Father is just as equally important for us today. If we are going to truly follow in the footsteps of Jesus, then we will do so in such a way that our life will be committed to him who judges righteously as well. We're seeing the first three verses, verses 1 through 3, "Oh, to be like thee." Number 159 will be our next song. When we start thinking about Jesus and his life, we cannot but think about the suffering that he went through, the fact that he would die for all mankind, and the agony that he endured leading up to the cross. In the garden, he would pray. He will be betrayed shortly. But he will pray that this cup pass from him. But it was the intensity of the prayer that really makes me think about Jesus at times when one writer records it as being sweat drops as blood. That's how intense the prayer was. Mark records this way in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 35. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Such a great burden of one who would be our sacrifice, not just ours, but for the whole world. To go to that hour of prayer there, that time of prayer in the garden, knowing that the time was imminent, that he was going to die for mankind. And it would be a normal reaction. Now, what we see is the human side of Jesus in this, being deeply distressed by it. If there was any other way, I believe God would have done that. But we know by looking at Scripture that there was no other way, only a perfect sacrifice, and that being the gift of love from God Himself in His Son. We're going to sing Psalm number 159. Verses 1 through 4. 159, verses 1 through 4.
Know me when my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought
pages over in your psalm book, number 162. It is still during that prayer, as Jesus is in the garden, that he cries out to his Father, "Abba, Father." And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. Three times, Jesus is going to make this request in the garden. three times. He's going to say the same words. He knows the answer. And he's prepared for the answer. But nevertheless, when we think about that, we think about Jesus in the garden and him praying. And as the song is titled, Night with Ebon Pinion, and as the first verse reads, Brooded o'er the veil, all around was silent, save the night wind's wail. We're going to sing this, the first and last verse of 162, and we're going to sing it softly as he's praying. Turn to number 580, 10,000 Angels, number 580. Jesus will go to the cross. He is going to be betrayed in this very same garden. Judas is going to come with a multitude of individuals carrying weapons to arrest Jesus. Judas will kiss him on the cheek, so that they would recognize who he was. That night, the disciples would scatter. Jesus would be taken to the home of the high priest. A horrible trial that didn't deserve to take place would take place. And later on, he'd be led to Pilate, back to Agrippa, and then back to Pilate. All of these things we've not witnessed. And all of this we have recorded for us within Scripture. Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 50 reads, And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders to the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. In verse 57, it says, And those who laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Sing all four verses of this song, but we're going to sing the four verses and the chorus at the end of verse 4.
Precious head, they placed a crown.
Jesus came into this world and was willing to die. He had a mind about things that's usually different from us. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, talks about the fact that we should have a mind like his. That would be a mind that was willing to, a heart that was willing to submit to the commands of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Number 179, lead me to Calvary. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4 only. Verses 1 and 4. Jesus will be led to Calvary. It is there he's going to be hung on a cross. He is going to die the cruelest of deaths. He will be made a spectacle before men. But it is at that time when he is raised up on that cross, he is also exalted by the Father. It is a time where we think about his death and what he has done and understand that dying was not the end. There was more to come. He would be victorious over death. In John chapter 19, verses 38 through 42, Jesus has already breathed his last breath. He's now being taken down off of the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two Pharisees, will take and bury him in the tomb. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jew is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. We're going to sing all three verses of this psalm, but we're going to sing them first. We're going to sing them slowly. We're going to be building as we go through the song to the very end of the last verse, and we're really going to belt out the chorus when he rises from the grave. Should only say hallelujah in song, but I believe that there's times that we should shout hallelujah because we know of his victory over death. The fact that Jesus Christ was no longer enslaved in that tomb. It is a joy to be able to come together on the first day of the week to remember what he has done, that victory that he has over death, because it provides us hope in our lives today. We're going to sing number 167 here in just a moment. And number 167, we will only sing verses 2 through 4 in that song. But in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51, what we see there is now Jesus has been lifted up. It says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was departed from them and carried up into heaven. The true exaltation of Jesus Christ. Sitting at the right hand of God, our Father in heaven today, the King of his kingdom. We didn't see it happen. It's revealed to us in Scripture. We saw thee not when lifted high. In verse 2, as we sing verses 2, 3, and 4. Number 167.
No, we saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew. That shook the earth and veiled the sun.
Those who will be serving the Lord's Supper will do so after the singing of number 434. We've come to the high point, I believe, in Jesus' life, the fact that he is sitting at the right hand of God. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, I was watching the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Victory over death. Raised to sit to the right hand of God. And Jesus Christ is our King of Kings. He is our Lord of Lords this day. He is reigning in his kingdom, and we are part of that. And we remember him for his greatness, for his sacrifice, for his love, and we hail the power of Jesus' name. It is the power that can save men today. Verses 1, 3, and 4. At the conclusion of this song, we will offer the Lord's Supper.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the song.